listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
Episode 185 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. You know what? I'm going to check that's actually the number in a minute. People should talk amongst themselves. Talk. Rabble, rabble.
I'm Emily.
Yeah, no, wait. It is episode 185. It's been so long.
How have you forgot who we are?
Stop lying or forgetting who you are. You know who you are.
Yes, I know. I'm Retroid.
No.
Which one of us is the queen?
Me.
Am I supposed to be here?
Yes.
You sure?
Pretty sure. I might have consumed some whiskey before this episode, so anything could happen. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, a.k.a. Cookie Stroke Retroid.
And I'm Paul, a.k.a. Retroid, and stop stroking me, Cookie.
You paid me a tenner for that. What are you on about?
That's Nerds After Dark.
We have to,
in this current political climate, we have to survive any way we can.
Hopefully for episode 190 we'll be talking about the BioShock game, so that this does involve Paul and me getting a bit more on top of actually playing them, or at least Paul playing them, because he has more free time.
God damn it, Paul.
I was going to say, the BioShock games are a bit depressing, and it's like, by the same token, reality is currently a bit depressing. At least in
They're
BioShock,
pretty
you can.
Uplifting in comparison, let me tell you that.
Yes, at least with BioShock, you can, kind of work your way through the game and kind of kill people.
You've got plasmids and you can electric shock and burn people you don't like. Whereas with this, you just have to put up with them appearing on the news and somehow being elected.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, what was it, on Sunday last, wasn't on like the Daily Politics show or something like that Paul Golding from Britain First kind of made an appearance, and it's like, what the actual fuck?
Can we not talk about politics? I want us to talk about interesting things like survival lessons from video games. And when I say interesting, I mean hilarious and frightening and probably very bad survival lessons in the first place.
Well, where we'll be spending the next 4 years.
Hmm. So we've got you covered for, the foreseeable future.
Because of what's been going on in the world, I admit I have started hitting that Skyrim, I feel like I should be sniffing.
I thought you were gonna say scotch or whiskey.
Going to a simpler time.
I've been playing Skyrim in light of recent events. It's just become more,
on PS4.
People who've listened to the show for a long time will know that after the initial hate of that game that I had, it turned into a weird form of love, and I might obviously have some form of Stockholm syndrome with that game.
To be fair, one of the reasons why you fell out of that with that game was because of a game-breaking glitch.
Several.
So,
yeah. And they don't seem to be cropping up so much in the HD remaster that's on console, so for that I'm happy. I'm sure I'll play the HD remaster on PC when I have a gaming PC at some point again in the future, but for now I'm on PS4 playing it.
I got the game for free.
Yeah. But it's got so many great survival tips about how you have to always cook food with salt. Oh my god. I forgot that was a thing. Like, I was like, oh, let's make some soup or something with, and it's like, you don't always have to use salt to season things. It is actually an optional thing. And for some of like soup, it's not because you're preserving it. And like, go to take some potatoes or cabbages or whatever to make some soup. And it's like, oh no, you need salt. And it turns out that salt is about as rare as fucking moon sugar sometimes in this game. Salt is almost as rare as the game's drug. Moon sugar is a drug. God, well, Jesus, it's a drug component. You use it to make skooma in the Elder Scrolls verse.
Wow, I didn't realise it was quite that dark, as it were.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I mean, in Skyrim, somebody gets beheaded within the first very long minutes of the game, right in front of you. So, you know.
What is this, The Walking Dead?
But, yeah, just sort of... All right, Skyrim.
I'll have you know that the majority of the people voted for the zombie apocalypse, and we're just going to have to accept that.
Yes. Meanwhile, in Skyrim...
Work.
Meanwhile, in Skyrim, it's interesting if you obviously play the game with the Frostfall mod on, like, PC. Because obviously then the game does become about surviving, and I still don't quite understand why, even with the HD re-release, they couldn't have just brought in an official survival mode akin to what they had since Fallout New Vegas.
Because that would mean more time actually working on it.
Nobody wants to... I don't like the fact that...
Spent all that time putting in those godrits.
Can you install the Thomas mod, though?
Probably on, like, Xbox or PC. Oh, one thing I noticed was that you can't play on the console versions with mods if you want to get achievements.
Pardon?
You can't, really? You can't have mods on if you want to grab trophies or achievements.
Well, that's a big bloody raspberry effect, doesn't it?
Yeah. But that's not a survival tip, because obviously in the real world, there are no trophies or achievements for, like, successfully eating a plate of food.
There is.
Apart from being there born is. Rich and white.
Oh my god, this is...
See, you decided on the topic.
You guys are just making it all political.
Come on!
No, I'm not. I wasn't. I was asking about the Thomas mod. How political is that?
I don't know why on earth politics would be on my mind right now.
I wanted to turn to video games for escape.
Well, excuse me, how is Thomas the Tank Engine anything to do with politics?
Well, that fat controller, I mean, dude, that's like...
Oh, you're trying to call me fat now?
No, I'm saying he's obviously part of the new liberal elite, but, you know, that's a story for another day.
And the story of Skyrim is about separatism.
Yes.
Oh, God. Emily, what have you done here?
I lose
the call for 2 seconds and I come back in to...
It's all gone wrong.
If there's one thing, you know, because obviously there's lots of games out there that, you know, do have, like, dystopias or, you know, kind of, you know, world-shattering kind of stuff going on. Sometimes it is nice to just fucking play a little bit of, you know, Mario, just jump on shit.
Yeah.
To be fair,
there's no political kind of... Well, there's very few political, you know, things that...
I just want to put out game theorists and the investigation into Mario's communist ways.
True. Or whether Mario's a psychopath.
That's more interesting.
I'll also point out that Mario and Luigi and, of course, the princess are the elite, and they're the only human characters who are in the games.
Mm.
All the rest are variations on turtles and mushrooms.
Or the other, one might say.
Mm.
Although there is also a theory that all of the Mario games are for show. They're kind of a play, as it were. Or at least Mario Bros. 3 on the NES. But yeah.
Survival tips from games. I think Resident Evil has some of the worst survival tips for games.
Like you can't run and gun?
Yeah, like... I mean, to be fair, though, unless you've really fucking trained, like, running and gunning probably isn't going to work out that well for you. And if you've got a weapon that has a lot of kickback, it's really not going to work out for you.
I'm not that trained, but to be fair, if a horde of zombies was coming to eat my brains, I would still run and shoot as best as I could at the fuckers.
Mm.
Well, you wouldn't run at the buggers.
You do run around collecting a weed to make you feel better.
Yes.
Mm. So. Yeah.
They voted for that in the US and some of the other states, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Gustia.
See, I've just got this image of, you know, sort of like, you know, Leon or, you know, Claire or whatever, you know, being like, oh, I'm low on health, you know, danger, and all of a sudden she's rolling a joint and being like, much better.
And then the first aid sprays, which are actually the closest thing they are to real life, because when the game started, they didn't even have... Because you've got a slight kind of artificial spray on plaster as a thing since the games originally started. But those did not exist when we had the first aid spray. initially introduced. So it's kind of like, no. So don't rely on Resident Evil to ever get you through, you know, survival methods. Also, they just make it really hard for you to just shoot things in the head. But then that doesn't work with
one
Last Plagueis.
Is the master of unlocking?
Last Plagueis, shooting in the head doesn't actually help.
Besides that, I mean, the earlier games, they're all like, you know, we need to split up for no particular reason whatsoever.
Don't do that. Do not split up.
That comes into effect as well for Left 4 Dead.
But Left 4 Dead, obviously...
around here. Let's split up so we're all easily pickoffable.
Yeah, at least Left 4 Dead actually punishes you for essentially splitting up too much. Mm. Like, not having each other's backs. It's like, it just takes advantage of that.
It does, but then I suppose if you're clever like a couple of my friends, if they've actually lured you to the place so they could escape the rich while you get hammered by the rich, they've probably just got a survival tip over you, which has happened to me several times.
See, the best thing to do with a witch is just to go up behind her and shotgun to the head.
I suppose if there's one thing that...
thanks, Witchfinder General.
If there's one thing that Dead Space originally taught me was that never underestimate everyday hardware for killing things. Because that plasma cutter... that's not meant for shooting stuff to kill it originally. That's a tool for cutting things on the everyday jobs of maintaining spacecraft and space stations.
In fact, despite how silly the game is in general, I think, what is it, Dead Rising? You know, with the whole...
I was just
assembling,
about to say Dead Rising.
Assembling, like, new weapons from just random objects. That is, you know... that's also...
taking out zombies with a stack of plates from a cutlery store.
I suppose it's better than records.
Yes, as Sean and they know. They know. Speaking of records, I assume I must have liked Blur on Facebook many, many moons ago, like when I first created the account, and so I got pushed into my feed today something about their 21st anniversary, I think, of like one of their singles coming out, and it's just like, no. I don't need to know that record came out then. No, it's fine. We don't need to.
It's
know.
Like occasionally I'll look up a song and then I'll realise it's 20 years old. And then I'll point out to people saying, hey, here's this song that we all remember. It's 20 years ago. And there'll be a chorus of, fuck you.
I know it's a bit ahead of time.
It's not 20 years. It can't be.
I know it's ahead of time, but I would say that some of the survival tactics in the Bioshock games are not always helpful. Like, the whole plasmids thing, I bet they weren't necessarily tested to ensure that everyone wasn't allergic to them. Like, randomly injecting yourself with crap to change your genetic structure could very well work out badly for you.
In fact, the beginning of Bioshock, you know, yes, you're kind of presented, you know, into like the situation where you have to inject this random shit into your veins. But as a survival technique, no.
And certainly if you've got no guarantee that the needle's clean, that's gonna fuck you up, potentially. You know?
So basically don't go around injecting yourself with random shit.
Well, that's a good life skill, really. A good life lesson.
Yeah.
Just don't go around injecting random shit and hoping that you'll be able to shoot electricity out of your hand. Because you probably won't if you're not actually in Bioshock.
Absolutely. Or, like,
it's always
generate
cool
bees.
Try it and see if it works.
I'm just going to point out, you know, with a whole, you know, 20 years in system such a single or, you know, whatever, there will be a generation growing up who will be watching Shaun of the Dead and wondering what the hell Shaun and his best mate are throwing at the zombies in the back garden.
No.
What are those really weird discs?
Are they like really big flat iPods?
That only play one what? Song.
Yeah. It's a what?
Joe. I'm trying to see.
I've already had the what's a CD, and he said, oh, piss off.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Survival tactics from other games. You know, I wouldn't acknowledge the survival tactics of Animal Crossing. I feel like if it's survival tactics for capitalism, I feel like Animal Crossing is a bad example on account of the fact that it doesn't seem to be able to get through many levels of industry in order to help you generate the necessary bells to tell Nook where to go.
That and also you can't stage
a revolution and just hang him for a start, can you? So.
Exactly.
I mean, that's an oversight, really. You know, Nintendo? Come on.
Really?
Just saying. Guys, think of survival tactics from other games.
Okay. So survival tactics, I've been playing Rainbow Six Siege over the weekend because it was free to play on the PS4.
Awesome.
And the survival tactic in that is to shoot other people.
No, the survival tactic in that is to actually realise that you can lean around corners.
Ooh.
24 hours, and I kept getting picked off and wondering, how are they picking me off when I'm shooting them? I can't even get a kill in this. What the hell's going on? I can lean. And as soon as I learned how to do that, I got 2 kills. Bonus.
Cunning.
Also, don't run in, because it is a very tactical game. If you run in, you're dead.
I think, running into like a firefight central situation, or a situation where you're actually, you need to be sneaking, and you run in, and obviously you create
not
all
like
the
COD,
noise.
Where you seem to be able to just run in, jump over a few bullets, wall jump here and there, and then just take them out anyway.
That's not helpful.
Let's see, from the early Resident Evil game, like the first Resident Evil game, dodge rather than shoot.
Yes.
If you can get away with saving bullets, just dodge around.
That also extends to the original.
Oh, God, yeah, Doom.
Doom. If you just sidestep, then you can dodge a hell of a lot.
Mm. Yeah.
Also,
Deep Space as well.
Also, like Left 4 Dead, if you cannot shoot, because ammo's still scarce depending on the difficulty.
Bludgeon rather than...
Although it is rather excellent to kill zombies with a guitar.
Yes.
Even in Skyrim, sometimes it just makes sense to just run your ass off rather than deal with 10 Druga that are like in a single fucking bit of, you know, underground temple / burial site. You know, it's just better to just run. Sometimes when there's a dragon in the area, sometimes it's better to just run rather than deal with the dragon. Especially when you're low on potions, it's got fire breath, and you're not very resistant to fire.
And you'd be going, I'm sorry, but I really just don't give a flying fuss right now.
Exactly.
Always be prepared.
Kind of thinking back to Left 4 Dead tactics, you know, stuff like avoid like any kind of vehicles or whatnot. Yeah. If necessary, you can always lure enemies to a location to pick them off as well.
Hey, what was the big round chubby one that used to explode?
Boomer.
Yeah.
Boomer. Oh, yeah, avoid them like the plague. Go on.
Oh,
take them out. Because didn't that attract them?
Yes.
It would cause a horde to turn up.
And then Left 4 Dead 2 introduced another equivalent, and that just actively just vomited on you a bit more with females. Yes.
Oh, yeah, basically the same thing, though.
And then there was the spitter as well, so, you know, it would just pass it.
Yeah, and obviously the jockey, so, you know.
Jockey was ace.
I think you mean the jockey was a little bastard.
Yes.
Not if you were playing him. If you were playing the other version. No, if you were playing...
That means you're a little bastard.
I've got my reputation to keep up, Retro. Yes, I used to be quite vindictive as the playing as jockey.
Ah, man, I think we need to play Left 4 Dead again at some point soon.
You say that, but
I think they need to do a remaster.
We can do it.
They need to do a remaster for PS4.
Ooh, that would be good.
Or Left 4 Dead 3.
Or I could just boot that up on my PC right now.
Yeah, but it's easy to sort out on PC than console now.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, I've got 4K at 60 frames per second.
La 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 la. What are you saying, Rich?
I've got survival tactics for dealing with, being a lawyer, I would say that any advice that you can obtain in the Phoenix Wright games or Apollo Justice
is
objection.
Yes, you should disregard. Yes.
Sorry.
You should shout that a lot. Just
to wind just in up general. The
judge. Yeah.
Or just watch a compilation of all the Lionel Hutz bits from Early Simpsons. I move for a bad court.
A bad court?
Thingy? Do you mean a mistrial? Okay, yes, one of those. I'm thinking here, one of my earliest... Well, there are two early survival tactics. One of them, which of course is the try to take out the columns in Space Invaders.
Yes.
Before you take out the rows.
Yep.
And then you can stop it from, you know, coming down the screen at you. So there's that.
Yeah.
And also a game called Paradroid, which was on the Commodore 64. Where I want a new version of Paradroid, you bastards! I swear I've mentioned this before, but it's an excellent game idea. You play an influence. This is related. Bear with me. It's not just an excuse to sneak in an old game. It is,
never.
But it's not just. You play an influence device which can take over more advanced robots.
Hmm.
In automated ships, and the androids have run amok, and you have to, you know, destroy all the all the droids on the ship. But there are different classes, and they're all you know, done in schematic style. So you have the, you know, the cleaner droids, which are the 100s and 200, you know, level robots, and then you have the mechanical droids, which are the, you know, 300 and 400 robots. Then you have the combat ones, who are, you know, 500, 600, 700. 800, which is the top security, and 900, which is the command droid. And the idea is they're all progressively harder to take over, and you get a shorter amount of time controlling them before, you know, you blow up. Well, it blows up and then leaves you very vulnerable. Okay. And the survival tactic in that game was, even though it was incredibly easy to wipe out the low-level cleaning droids that, you know, you'd find around, don't do that, because they're the easiest to take over, and you seriously need to keep them to one side. So when you're taking on, you know, the combat droids and the battle droids and security droids, if you get shot and your droid explodes under you, leaving you on critical energy, you can run off to a lift, go to one of the decks where it's full of cleaning and maintenance droids, take one of those over, and then you've effectively got an extra life.
Hmm.
And then go up to one of the higher decks and try to take over one of the combat droids.
Okay.
And that was a very good survival tactic. Cool. And I want a new game of that, damn it!
I would say Team Fortress 2. So, kind of know your enemy. Because who you're kind of battling against greatly determines what kind of actions you should take. So say, for example, if you've got like a team who has like a... the opposition has a very good engineer, and, you know, knows all the nooks and crannies and, you know, sort of like the best methods to kind of maintain like a, you know, decent sentry, learn how to play like a spy or a demo man. With a spy especially, try and maintain the behavior of your enemy. So I remember once I actually played as a spy, got behind enemy lines, and behaved in such a way where when the medic was ready to Uber, he Ubered me. The enemy medic Ubered me, and I, you know, was then obviously invulnerable for a while, and just basically stabbed all the teammates around and basically just caused massive havoc. It was brilliant.
You monster.
I have a survival tactic. If you ever find yourself suddenly in possession of psychic abilities, probably don't use them. Go sit in a corner somewhere and just stay absolutely quiet, and then hopefully the government won't come for you, or an agency of the government.
What?
I'm just saying, I've played a lot of psychic ability style games of the year. Obviously, I've played Second Sight.
Babylon 5.
Yeah, I've played Second Sight.
Stay the hell away from Psycho.
played Psyops. Played Beyond Two Souls, and it's like just don't use it. Just ignore it. Just go sit somewhere until it all calms down and the government forgets about you, and then still don't use your abilities when you crawl out to get yourself some cake. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Even though you'll be tempted to just make the cake float over into your mouth.
Well, you could try doing that, but obviously if there's witnesses, it's going to cause problems, and that's when the government agency comes for you again.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if you were to do something...
Are you the one with psychic keg?
Psychic keg.
No.
Even if you were to do, like, things like undercover, like, say, for example, either, you know, turning yourself invisible or mind-altering type stuff, then you will still have difficulty, you know, because, you know, that kind of... thing snowballs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're Kilgrave.
Meh.
Yes.
Meh.
And then that could be handy.
Meh.
But try not to be so evil.
I really did like Kilgrave as a villain.
Do you think any of the Batman games have anything to offer us in terms of lessons of survival? Like, don't get distracted by hunting for trophies?
Yeah.
I
use detective vision whenever possible to actually locate an enemy.
But detective vision doesn't exist in real life.
I would say plan your attack.
Yes, plan your attack.
Mm. Okay, I can get behind that.
Keep in the shadows.
Remember to modify your weapons as often as possible.
Prioritize the enemies that are attacking you first.
Prioritize.
I'm thinking about the battling. Group mob fighting.
Take the enemy on a one-on-one basis rather than on a group. So if you can pick them off one by one, getting them alone, that's better.
Yeah,
you should self attacks.
Can you be quite stringent in your no killing rule, but still try and run over people's heads when you're trying to get information out of them?
Yeah. Oh, you've been playing Crazy Taxi again.
Yeah. If you see what I did. See, I bet you thought, was it Green Day? Was it?
If you're thinking Crazy Offspring. Taxi, that was it, because most of it's Offspring.
In a little side thing there, but it was obviously, you know, the Offspring who did that.
Mm.
But a mate of mine would insist, I swear that's Green Day. And I'd be going, Green Day sounds completely fucking different.
Other survival tips, don't get those two mixed up.
Don't confuse Green Day and Offspring.
Yeah, don't do that. I think I'm going to move us on now, unless anyone's got any last minute survival tips from some other video games.
If you're playing Elite Dangerous, try not to bust open your canopy.
That,
when you're in deep space, yes, because that's bad.
Does one end up in the void of space if one does that? On a personal body-to-body basis.
But one only has maybe about 10 minutes of oxygen, before you suffocate.
How about most modern first-person shooters, which is if you're, you know,
but you have a space suit.
You do, but behind it's only something.
Hide behind something if you're low on health.
Yes.
Yeah.
Modern first-person shooters.
Oh, and seeing as I've been playing Adrift, the hint with that, and after watching Gravity as well, is astronaut on a space station orbiting Earth. Because shit happens.
Yeah. Perfect Dark, know how to use your secondary functions. Because stuff like laptop gun and whatnot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A good survival tip there would be not to bother with releasing a 360 version.
Yeah. I'm moving us on to what stuff people have been up to, because we haven't obviously podcasted in a while. Lots of people have been up to lots of things.
We're going to have a second part to this survival tips, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Come on, we've got to. There's still plenty more games out there.
with including
which could be just the tips.
Including in Mario Kart, don't race your shells or bananas, and hold them backwards, just in case you get hit if you're in the lead.
Hang on, what? Hold what backwards? Like that kind of zoned out there.
And your shell.
Mario Kart. Okay, right. Yeah.
First, hold it behind your back.
Okay.
I thought we were into it after dark again.
Moving on. Seriously, moving on.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about some shizzle first, and then I'll let you three fight out amongst yourselves.
We will witness your shizzle.
So, not quite something that I've...
Hang on, is this your shizzle reel?
What was that?
Sorry.
This was me dealing with puns.
I've not slept that well.
I haven't read it in a while, but this is kind of supernatural fandom related. I bet we've probably got one other person who listens to this that reads fanfic occasionally. But the most highly rated supernatural fanfic on Archive of Our Own, Twist and Shout, is finally going to be taken off the archive because the people that wrote it are going to actually have it published as a legitimate piece of fiction with obviously character names and shit changed, but the essential part of the story is still there. So it's doing a 50 Shades of Grey, only more legitimately, because it is actually enthralling story of heartache and angst and has no BDSM whatsoever.
It's nice that it's actually been taken off because of something positive.
This is true. Like, some people will remove fanfics because even though it's a good fic or something, they get, like, loads of fandom hate or something. It's actually also the most highly rated by Kudos fanfic on Archive Our Own if you discount this crack fic about Groot.
Say what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Have you read this?
No, because I don't read anything that isn't about supernatural in some way.
Do you reckon it's just got...
I am Groot.
I think it is actually called Groot. I Am Groot. It's the top rated fic by Kudos on the whole of the archive. Then it's Twist and Shout.
The question is Groot actually a Pokemon?
No.
But meanwhile... Meanwhile, talk about Twist and Shout.
It's not a Groot raccoon slush fic, is it?
No, it's just pure crack.
Just pure Groot.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, Twist and Shout's interesting because it's like set in the 60s. It sort of starts just on the cusp of the Vietnam War, then goes all the way to a point in the 80s, and it's actually just like there's like nice and happy things in it, and there's a whole thing to do with one of the either Dean or Kaz in the fanfic liking the music of Elvis Presley, hence the name Twist and Shout, and the infamous amongst fandom side of things about can you dig Elvis, but it's just kind of like I can see it working as an original fic, and it's interesting seeing it kind of like make the transition. It's still available in the archive at the moment, but not for long. Suggestions are you download it if you wish the opportunity to read this piece of Destia. That's Dean and Kaz for the uninitiated. Just saying.
Also, it is a slash fic.
Yeah, it's a slash fic. It's an AU slash fic.
I think we're going to need a glossary at some point of these terms for people, for our listeners.
Maybe. Meanwhile, I have actually... I've got three different watches of Supernatural going on. I'm re-watching Supernatural Series 1 with someone who hasn't seen Supernatural before. I'm currently on my own rewatches when I rewatch on my exercise bike if I'm not watching something else. I finally watched the last two episodes of season 3, which are quite tough to get through on account of what happens to Dean. He might die.
But it's okay, it's supernatural.
He gets better.
Yeah, yeah, he gets better. I finally started season 4, and it was quite interesting rewatching our first episode of Season 4 Lazarus Rising, which is obviously when a certain angel character by the name of Castiel gets introduced. So there's just all these... I mean, Dean comes back from the dead and it's like full-on freaking Banff entrance in that respect. Castiel, the first angel ever encountered on the show, has a whole Banff entrance. And it's just like...
Everybody's just Banff in
it. Everyone's just Banff in it. Is Bobby Banff in it? No, Bobby's just kind of like, do we really have to go and do this thing where we talk to this angry thing, because they don't know at what point what it is, angry thing that's burned out a psychic's eyeballs when she tried to have a sneak peek at him during a fucking seance. It's like,
You see, that is quite impolite.
Yeah, yeah. But Castiel told the psychic to stop looking at him, so it was going to end badly. He did try to more than hint, but she didn't get the message. So Supernatural's going on. And Supernatural, I've been watching, through the means of Dave Internet, Supernatural Season 12, as it airs in the US. The first four episodes, definitely interesting. Pretty good. Last week's episode was probably the least liked in fandom so far. However, it had better viewing figures than some of the more liked episodes in fandom so far in the season. So,
I know with my experience from other series, sometimes the most hated and the most liked episodes are. Yeah, that I usually end up on the polar opposite of whatever fandom thinks.
That's because I think people generally tend to kind of go towards other people's opinions.
Also,
a lot of times, yeah. So you end up kind of getting this out. Okay, I'll shut up then.
Also, on a political note, because I wasn't. For that the episode of Supernatural that was on last week, it was an interesting choice of episode to air on the week of the US election. Really interesting. In fact, like some people are saying, I'm surprised that they haven't shifted stuff around and all that, because the plot was pretty much disconnected from what was happening in the season anyway, so they probably could have got away with shuffling it at least for the broadcast.
Potentially, unless something changes.
Yeah.
Although I usually hate it when, television networks do that, where they, kind of show stuff out of order, and you're like, hold on a minute, what?
I'm, outside of Supernatural stuff, I'm replaying Skyrim. I'm sure the hours I've sunk into it now are approaching over 600 across the various platforms I've played it on. I don't know.
That'd be 360...
PC and now PS4. Yeah.
Is it worth buying a game for PS4?
It looks pretty. It's not glitching as much.
You haven't tried any of the mods, though.
I haven't tried any mods yet, though, because I want achievements, because I'm playing it on the system for the first time. Obviously, it's got far fewer mods than Xbox One and PC. I'm a wood elf, sneaky type, who likes crafting currently. Kind of got a whole, I like my alchemy and my smithing and enchantment a little bit, basically.
See, one of the things about the both Skyrim or the Old Scrolls games and the Fallout games is that you can kind of pretty much kind of put virtually anything in your inventory. So that's a survival tip. Just grab everything.
Oh, yeah, grab everything. But unfortunately, though, you will get weighed down eventually in those games and not be able to move.
Grab all your junk.
Or not.
So to speak.
I've also got onto...
Wandering around the landscape with 5 cheese wheels.
Oh, my God. I've been watching American Horror Story.
And a sack of flour.
I started...
Oh, which one?
I've watched season one... And I'm on season 2 at the moment when I'm not watching Supernatural on my bike. It's interesting. And I'm enjoying it, but it's really hard for me to describe why I'm enjoying it, and it's not necessarily because of the shock value that it obviously plays on a lot. I like how they're basically, they obviously they take the same actors from the previous season, and just it's just a completely different setting and everything. But it also means that I understand Scream Queens a little bit more now. Because
it's that had callbacks.
It's kind of like Scream Queens is almost a parody of it, in the sense of the fact that they've shifted locations, but it's got the same characters. Whereas in American Horror Story, there's no explanation for why it's the same characters, because it is meant to be a separate story. Scream Queens, it's kind of like,
well, presumably it's same actors, separate characters.
Well, same actors, separate characters. It's the Scream Queens. It's kind of it's more connected, but they're still trying to make out that it's a separate story in season two.
Okay.
But it's still connected.
I think with American Horror Story season two, because that's the asylum, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's probably my favourite season.
Okay. And I got halfway through the extended version of Batman v Superman last night before I had to call it a night, and Paul and some friends stayed up to watch it. I have to continue my rewatch, but I basically got like an hour and 40 odd minutes in. And there was like another hour and 40 odd minutes left. I had to be up at 6:15 in the morning. So I was kind of like, sorry, guys, I kind of need to go to bed and abandon it.
And also, it's just, fuck's sake, just phone him.
Yeah.
Just sort it out.
I mean, with Batman versus Superman, when I first watched it, it kind of made a little bit of sense, you know, the whole Martha thing to me in my head, because it was like Batman didn't realise that Superman was actually more like him than he realised. But in actually on the second watch, there was a throwaway comment from Batman turning around and saying something along the lines of, oh, I bet your parents, you know, taught you to do this. So it kind of, that kind of nullified my theory on why, you know, that would happen. And it's like, so no, that made it less sense, you know. Well, that made it make less sense than it originally did in my head. So now I'm like, nope.
I'm kind of curious to watch the extended version, because I've heard that makes more sense.
I think,
but then on the other hand, it's just that's even more of it.
But I remember watching a video on YouTube kind of about Zack Snyder as a director, which kind of makes everything that I've watched of his make far more sense. And that's that basically Zack Snyder, what he does is he basically kind of creates a series of epic moments. And, you know, every single scene has to be some sort of, you know, brilliant, epic kind of, you know, kind of thing about it. And a lot of other directors don't do that. They do have, like, filler whereby, you know, oh, it's one character going across the street. Yes, to advance the story, but they don't necessarily do anything epic within that kind of scene,
I would say an example of that from Batman v Superman that stands out to me in something that's kind of like a regular conversation that does not have to happen where it does, is the bath conversation between Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
In which Lois is like naked in a bath full of water, and they get talking and shit, and it's like this and things, and it's just like this conversation did not have to happen in a bath with all this kind of going on. It could have happened on a couch.
I mean, do you remember that one bit where was it Lex Luthor was talking to that guy about getting access to you know, kind of Zod's body and whatnot, and he basically just unwraps a sweet and just kind of tips it into that guy's mouth, you know, the kind of power play. And it's like, that's coming off as like really very, very creepy and not particularly Lex Luthery, but knowing that, you know, that Zack Snyder has basically epic moments chained together, you know, what could we do to make this, you know, kind of conversation more interesting? Oh, let's have Lex Luthor pop a sweet into his mouth.
It makes it a little bit liked, you know, that version of Lex.
Yeah.
In some ways, it made far more sense that he was a bit unhinged.
Yes.
And, you know, ideologically opposed to, you know, an alien.
Yeah.
Than just simply, I'm going to make an island made out of kryptonite because house prices.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've always struggled with Lex Luthor's, you know, motivation. So having Lex Luthor as kind of, you know, quite deranged and warped kind of makes a fair bit of sense. And like when he's kind of giving that speech and stuff.
I liked him as Lex. So.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that didn't.
Probably because it's not that close to the, you know, comic book
versions. Or also previous film versions.
To be fair, in this series, it's actually Lex Luthor's son anyway, wasn't he?
Sorry?
He wasn't the original.
No, it was his son.
It was Lex Luthor's son in this, wasn't it?
Oh, so it isn't meant to be the same?
He was taking over the business, wasn't he, from his father?
Yeah.
But Lionel didn't get mentioned as a name. Paul, do you want to... Paul, beside me, do you want to talk about what you've been up to other than Batman v Superman?
Other than Batman vs Superman, ooh. Let's see, we've watched... did we get to the end of Jessica Jones the last time?
Yeah, we finally watched all of Jessica Jones!
Finally, what about Luke Cage?
We haven't started that yet.
Yeah,
I knew that was coming. Really enjoyed Jessica Jones. For some reason, the Netflix Marvel TV series, they're really good. It's just that if you don't watch, you know, closely enough at every episode, then
you can miss bits.
Yeah, bits start to fall away, and they make less and less sense as they go on, and then you just kind of like
they are arcs.
Sorry, they are what?
They are arcs rather than...
Arcs, yeah.
You know, in this episode, Jessica learns a valuable lesson from a friend. You know, well, that kind of episodic bullshit.
Okay, Orko.
Yeah. I mean, it's true, though. I mean, in traditional TV, like they usually kind of have like the kind of mind-splitting kind of revelation like at the end of the episode... in order to get people to watch, and then sort of like the next episode, it's like nothing really happens. Kind of a schism again onto the next episode. So it is kind of makes sense that, you know, they kind of obviously put these things out so that, you know, people will watch them in, you know, kind of blocks. It kind of makes sense that it becomes more like that. But
I actually prefer the Netflix series to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I can kind of see why, because, you know, they're both technically TV, they're two different, you know, very different kind of styles of TV series. You know,
they are,
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is very much kind of a throwback to, you know, kind of previous American TV series where it is, you know, longer arcs and, you know, mid-season finales and, you know, stuff like that.
I would say, in a way, the Netflix series are closer to the ideas of the comics because they would often have large arcs.
Definitely.
Instead of... It's like, yes, and the comics would go through stages of, you bought one issue and it had a story.
And they've got the darker tone to the comic, which the comic books have.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice. Although saying that, I must admit, the current season of S.H.I.E.L.D. does seem to be heading that way.
Oh, is that...
a lot more darker.
Fourth season? Or are you still referring to the end of, like, season three?
No, fourth season of Ghost Rider.
Okay, so I haven't actually seen any of that yet. When's that out on Channel 4, actually? Has it already started on Channel 4, do you know? Cookie?
Hang on.
Quickly, to the internet!
I think it has, actually. My friend Dave's been letting me watch it.
Ah, okay. Makes sense.
Season 4. Ooh, hang on. Channel4.com. Thinks they paid too much for Bake Off.
Okay.
I mean, it's a very shiny tent.
So I think I'm going to move on to the other thing that I've been watching. Obviously, I've been watching The Walking Dead again, and it's I'm having to kind of watch it like weekly as, you know, as it kind of comes out, as you kind of used to. It feels a little bit weird to do that, you know, having to wait another week to find out where the story leads to now.
Damn it.
I know. But never mind.
That first episode, Jesus Christ.
Oh, fuck. I was like, I can kind of understand whether people will be put off by it. But I kind of reasoned with myself that, you know, the brutality was kind of necessary for the character and, you know, the motivations behind everything and whatnot. So, I can kind of give it a slight pass on that. And the fact that the brutality isn't going to be in, like, every episode. You know, it was that one gut punch to begin the season. It
was the people I saw complaining about it and saying, oh, they're doing it because of falling ratings or, you know, something like that. Based on the comic, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the comics from a few years ago, where these things happened, and it happened very closely to, you know, what happened in the episode, so it's actually an adaptation of something that happened several years ago. So shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I mean, several bits of it were almost, you know, panel for panel, shot for shot.
Yeah.
It was very close, and Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think there's just enough variation between the TV series and the graphic novels that there is actually still a little bit of surprise and suspense and stuff. You know, you don't know whether this person's going to die here or that person's going to die there, even if you've read the comics.
Yeah. I honestly thought right near the end of the, because I think that's what they were alluding to, right near the end of the first episode of season 7.
Mm.
I thought they were going to do to Rick what had happened in the comic a while back.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not going to say exactly what, but you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah. Just with he's being threatened.
Mm.
And I'm thinking,
But, I mean, the interesting thing is that there was actually leaked video of an alternate version of the opening scene on who gets, you know, the...
I had heard they'd done that, but I've not seen the video.
But, so obviously they've kind of filmed several kind of people's, or at least two persons, you know, death scenes, as it were. You know, it's Walking Dead. Spoiler, you know, somebody dies. You know, but yeah, it's kind of interesting how they must have kind of done that both to kind of keep people guessing and, you know, potentially to, you know, kind of make sure that the actors themselves don't, you know, kind of give anything away, because if you've filmed the death scenes for, you know, kind of everybody, then they can stick on the death scene that they want to happen, and the crew or the cast won't necessarily know which one gets, you know, played out.
Yeah, and of course, if it leaked,
yeah,
then they could just decide.
No, it was the other one.
Yeah.
Keep the sense of mysticism about.
Hmm. But, what have you been up to? Let's see, Retroid.
Well, I have been watching Walking Dead, and yeah, that was hard.
That was very difficult.
It was satisfying in the way they did it. I thought they did it very well.
Mm.
But
it genuinely made you fear this, you know, this guy, this character. Yes. You know, because before that point, you know, I was like, you know, they've got to stand up to him and, you know, teach him a lesson type thing.
They've had bad guys before.
Yeah, but nothing like this guy.
Yeah, absolutely nothing like him. And we've been watching Talking Dead as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the companion.
Yeah.
Thing of it, where it's more or less a support group.
Yeah, it does become that way, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's been that was quite good. Let's see, we've also been, finished off Luke Cage. That was quite good. Should watch that, maybe.
Pretty good. I still prefer Jessica Jones, though.
Yeah, I prefer Jessica Jones, but given I wasn't that struck on the Luke Cage character as he appeared in Jessica Jones, it was, they're making the whole series?
Yep.
Well, I mean, we've kind of joked
really?
That, you
I'm
know.
I'm not sure
you...
about that. But,
we've kind of joked before where you kind of walk into the scene of, you know, Marvel film and you suddenly, or Marvel Netflix series, and you suddenly get your own series from it.
Yeah, it is. Excuse me, can I borrow some sugar? It's like, yeah, here you go. So, next year on Netflix.
The Sugar Borrower.
Yeah, The Sugar Neighbor. 10 episodes. But, yeah, so, been watching those. We've, thanks to Dave Internet, found season 3 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Cool.
They're on season 4 now in the States, for fuck's sake.
Ah.
So it was, there's a whole season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So we just steamrolled through those.
I think we've still got most of
those were
season...
quite nice. Yeah. They were nice.
I think I've still got most of season 2 to watch on the Digibox type thing, but you should never get round to it. But definitely is worth watching.
It's a very good series to
chill out
watch after you've watched the first episode of Walking Dead.
Yes. I can't sleep, but I need to watch something good lighter.
Yeah, can I just have a few a few chuckles now, please? I desperately need that. Let's see, what have I been? Westworld, obviously.
Ooh, okay. I haven't actually watched any past episode one of that.
We've been watching. I've been quite enjoying it.
Cool.
I can see where some people are getting comments comparing it to Lost in one or two ways, but I'm thinking, no, I don't think it will, you know, shit the bed like Lost did. So I've been quite enjoying that. I am a real sucker for the whole, you know, AI and what it actually is.
Yeah.
Sort of, you know, subgenre of sci-fi, so that's been right up my alley.
So does that mean that you've watched much of Humans?
I'm waiting until there's more episodes of that, and then we can watch it. Yeah, but that is definitely, you know, something I'm waiting to watch, because, you know, first season, waited until that was, you know, that was aired.
Phenomenal.
And then just watched it all in, you know, a few evenings, and that was great. Very nice to see that, you know, there are some sci-fis coming out of the UK.
Yes.
You know, along those lines. Always good to see. Let's see. Started watching a series, an Aussie series on Netflix called Glitch.
Oh, saw that. Nice. Any good?
Well, so far it seems to be, yeah. We've only seen the first two episodes. And it's keeping it in its cards very close to its chest so far. But it starts off with several people clawing their way out of their own graves.
Lovely.
And it turns out that they're from that area, and for some reason they are, you know, back to life and miraculously healed, and not necessarily all from the same time of death.
All right, cool.
So watching that, and be interesting to see where it goes, because it is about the end of the second episode, but I'll have to wait and see. It's one of those where it lays a lot of, you know, hints.
Groundwork.
And you're trying to work out exactly what the mechanism is and how it works.
Cool.
But yeah, it seems that the people who have come back can't leave this tiny, you know, arse end of nowhere, you know, Australian town.
Yeah.
But you don't know why yet.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, a few episodes into that. That's quite good. I've still been playing around with Pico 8 games. Have I mentioned that before?
Can you say Pico 8?
Pico 8.
Pico 8. Hmm, okay.
I can't remember you.
Well, the idea, to give it a very quick rundown, is it's an old console that never existed.
Okay. What kind of generation of console?
Somewhere, I would personally put it somewhere between 8 and 16-bit.
Cool. Okay.
But it's got a limited spec. It's, you know, 16 colours, 1-8x1-8 screen resolution.
Wow.
And it has its own programming language built in, and it's quite powerful. I know a few people who have, you know, within a few evenings, built little games.
Hmm.
Even if it's just something like a little, you know, Mario-esque running along a landscape and jumping.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or, you know, little shoot 'em ups. There's a mate of mine who's done a Space Invaders clone.
Cool.
And he said it's almost embarrassingly easy to get, you know, things moving around on the screen. He's not used to that because he started, you know, coding on the ZX Spectrum.
Wow.
Where it was, you know, having to scream at it to, you know, get things moving around at speed. But, you know, it's relatively easy with this. But, yeah, lots of people have... there's an online repository. We'll, you know, code a game or a demo because, you know, some have just done little demonstrations of this is a text box design or this is a first-person maze that you wander around.
Hmm.
And, you know, sort of like a, you know, an old 8-bit, you know, RPG where you can just, you know, bump into, oh, there's a talking mushroom or something like that and you can hit it with your axe.
Cool.
You know, and it gives you gold or a health potion. And then, you know, you find the ladder down and you go to the next level and that's another randomly generated, you know, maze. And, yeah, it's quite good fun. And, of course, there is a Pac-Man.
Cool.
Version. But, of course, with the screen resolution being so small, it has to scroll.
Yeah.
Slightly. But, yeah, they're all very nicely done. And one of the reasons I'm pissing about with that is my little hardware project, which I'm still working on, and it's coming along nicely, he says.
Cool.
So it should be finished in a few days, dies in mysterious fire. Yeah, tragic explosion somehow. But yeah, I'm quite happy with how that's going, but we'll see if I actually get it working. I've got a horrible feeling it's going to be, yes, everything is working perfectly and brilliantly. Put it together.
Nothing.
It won't work. Yeah, but that's what I've mostly been working on. And, of course, I've now finished the first two Bioshocks, and I've gone into, not that far into...
Infinite.
I've gone straight into the DLC for Bioshock Infinite, cool. Which is, you know, Burial at Sea, so it's based in Rapture.
Hmm, okay.
And of course, you'll be able to play that for the first time, because you never got the DLC, did you?
No, I didn't.
It's important you play the DLC.
Okay. Is it important that I play it before the main adventure?
You don't need to. In fact, you're probably better off playing Infinite.
Yeah.
And then playing Burial at Sea.
Okay.
But things are directly referenced.
Ah.
Cool. And it does rather... Yeah, if you've just played the first two Bioshocks, you will get a lot out of it because it's... set slightly earlier. It's set a few years earlier than, you know, the other Bioshocks. So things haven't gone to hell.
Ooh.
Okay.
Cool.
Cookie?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I have not been up to very much, to be fair, apart from that. I've been playing Rainbow Six Siege, as I mentioned earlier, which is actually a really good little multiplayer, very close quarter. 5-on-5 with objectives. Very thinking man's Call of Duty, which is quite a nice change.
Thinking man's Call of Duty.
It is. You've got to breach certain walls, and you could get your own line of fire and stuff by taking out the barricades and stuff. So, which is quite cool. You've got drones and stuff you can control to scan the areas and find the enemies first, which again is pretty cool. So I've been playing that. Finished Uncharted 4, which was a great game. And been playing. Callum came and spent the week with me, which I wasn't on the other week. We ended up getting the NBA 2K16, playing a lot of basketball on that, which is good fun. We've been watching. This is a weird one for you. So, we have been getting a bit bored with the sort of comic book stuff because, being quite blunt, there's a lot of it about. I've even got behind on Arrow and Supergirl and The Flash. And so, instead, we've been watching Jack and Ozzy's World Detour on the History Channel. Which is,
what the hell is that then?
It's Jack Osborne and Ozzy Osborne going around the world looking at historical monuments and stuff. They're big history buffs, which you didn't realise. Ozzy's a very big history buff in World War II.
Yeah, what the bloody hell's that?
Sometimes like that, but it's
Sharon, it's massive!
But he's actually, he knows his stuff.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which is quite weird. He knew about, they went to a World War II museum the other week in America, the Spy Museum in America. And they were showing him the pigeons with the cameras on top. Because they actually use pigeons with a camera on top. And Ozzy actually turned around and said, have you got any images or anything of the bats they used to use? And apparently in World War II, they actually trialled using bats to take incendiary devices into houses and stuff at night. But because they didn't always go to the same house at night, it didn't work out very well. And Ozzy actually brought it up and he knew about it. So it's actually quite interesting. There are some moments where you just laugh out loud and you shake your head. And there are moments.
Well, but very Ozzy moments.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, what is it? Like tonight, they're in Cuba and some cigars and stuff. And he's talking to Ozzy about, have you ever smuggled anything in? And Ozzy just typically went, didn't need to. I just had a really good dealer waiting at the other fucking end. Stuff like that. It just makes you laugh. So it's quite nice because it mixes it up and it's sort of their first real sort of father and son bucket list that they've been able to do together. So they're going around, they've been to Japan. They've done one in England. They've done a few in America, travelling around, seeing the Roosevelt statues, that sort of thing. Cuba and a few other places. We're watching that. And Planet Earth 2, which after last week's event was quite a nice getaway from everything.
It's nice that, you know, there's a place where you can go that, you know, isn't here.
Yeah.
What, where everybody knows your name?
No.
Was Virgin on that, wasn't it?
But no, Planet Earth 2's thing, I like it. But it's just been stuff like that. We've been finding different things to watch, which are a bit different to other things that are predominantly on telly, like crime shows and stuff. Because there is a lot of, don't shoot me, Emily, but there's a lot of, you know, supernatural series going around. There's a lot of superheroes. There's a lot of crime. There's nothing really else out there at the moment.
True.
It's a bit difficult to find anything which really engages.
Yes. Yeah. Because it's all very much, I'm tending to find it's all very much got an idea nicked from there, got an idea nicked from there, and it sort of spread along.
It's not just that, but I mean, the production values of everything seem to be so high nowadays that, you know, you can kind of watch, you know, a perfectly reasonable and acceptable, you know, kind of TV series, and because you're just not feeling it, you know, you switch off and you turn it over to something else.
You do indeed, unfortunately. So. That's all I've been really up to at the moment.
Okay, cool. Well, I think that's all we've got time for tonight or today or whenever you're listening to this. So don't forget, episode 190, we're going to be doing BioShock. Emily has unfortunately had to leave because of, you know, tooth problems.
or teeth problems rather. But yeah. Anyway, so let's see. Yep, you can obviously find us at the usual places: nerdassemble.co.uk. We're on Stitcher, iTunes. You know, any other kind of podcasty type services that you know take from RSS. You know, can find us on there. Yeah, it's good night from.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroed on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroed on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul, aka _Cookie on Twitter.
And it's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter's at Paul Blewett. Nerdassemble itself is on Twitter as well, at Nerds Podcast. And obviously Facebook, Google Plus, usual type stuff. So I think that's everything. So good night.
Night.
Good night.